Call the Full Ways and Means Committee to order for Friday, June 6th.
For Democrat boycott.
Exciting to see everyone here once again.
You're at the worst here.
So the chair would like to start off by requesting unanimous consent that the rules be suspended so that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means may reconsider the vote by which House Bill 5019 was sent to the floor. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requesting unanimous consent that the Joint Ways and Means Committee reconsider the vote by which House Bill 5019 was sent to the floor. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5019 is back before the full committee for a technical fix. The bill ratifies fees established or increased during the 2001-03 biennium for four health-related licensing boards. When the bill was before the committee previously, it was amended to include fee increases for the Mortuary and Cemetery Board, the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators, the Board of Pharmacy, and the Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. The bill needs to be amended further to delete sections 1, 2, and 3, which are sections blank appropriation and limitation amounts. The co-chair recommends House Bill 5019 be amended and repassed to the floor as amended. Mr. Co-chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Co-chair, any discussion? Any objection to reporting the bill back to committee? Hearing none, so ordered. All right. House Bill 5011, Department of Consumer and Business Services, Senator Carter or Senator Moore. Excuse me, Senator Moore.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 5011 is the budget bill for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. The agency has a variety of regulatory programs, including workers' compensation, Oregon Occupational Safety and Health Administration, insurance, finance, and corporate securities and building codes. The agency is supported by assessments and fees charged for services, including workers' compensation assessments and license and inspection fees. DCBS receives $11 million in federal funds for support of occupational safety and health programs. DCBS has statutory authority to expend its federal funds as other funds. The subcommittee approved a total budget $564.9 million other funds and 1,082 positions and 1,074.17 FTEs. The budget is $74 million, which is 11.6% below the governor's budget as a result of reductions in inflation and pay adjustments, the elimination of three vacant positions, reduced estimates of enrollment in the Oregon Medical Insurance Pool, and assessment rate reductions. The budget includes the governor's recommended policy option package to restore 9.58 FTE and 1.6 million other funds in the building codes program. This action partially funds staffing reductions taken to balance the budget as a result of revenue reduction. The partial restoration assumes passage of House Bill 5059, which is the agency fee bill. The budget also includes a technical adjustment of $383,136 to reflect reallocation of phone service costs by the Department of Administrative Services. Budget notes direct DCBS to report on progress in reducing violations of payday and title lending laws, develop a plan for workers' compensation reinsurer study, and present the study plan to the emergency board, and evaluate statewide building code service delivery. The Transportation and Economic Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 5011 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Is there any discussion? Any objection? Senator Morris recommends that House Bill 5011 be reported out to the House with a due pass recommendation of the Dash 1 Amendment. So ordered. All right, House Bill 5059, Department of Consumer Business Services, Fee Bill. Senator Morris.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 5059 is the fee bill for the Department of Consumer and Business Services that accompanies the budget bill. The bill includes fees that were administratively established as a result of the passage of substantive bills by the 2001 legislature, and fees administratively increased during the 2001 to 2003 biennium. The budget for 2003 to 2005 assumes continuation of these fees. The legislature must now ratify these fees as established or increased by the administrative rule during the interim. The subcommittee heard public testimony in support of this fee bill, including support from the building codes industry. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee amended the bill to delete certain electrical fees. It also deletes semiconductor fees, which are no longer required as a result of regulatory reform and streamlining. Mr. Chairman, the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 5059 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Senator Morse has recommended House Bill 5059 be reported out as amended with a do pass. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just by way of brief review, last session when we heard this particular the issues relative to the codes, building codes, those folks were asking at that time for an increase in fees. We asked them to please return to us with a better definition of the fees, and what happened was that they refused to return to us with that better definition of fees and opted to increase those fees in the interim. So I believe that the building codes is now under much better management and much better forthright and communicative management, and appreciate the presentation of 5059 to let us know what's happening, and grateful for the thoughtful review by the committee that they've done. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Any objection? House Bill 5035, Land Use Board of Appeal, Senator Dukes.
You give me something to read, I'll be happy, but I think Representative...
I meant Senator, Representative Johnson, actually.
You'd be careful with that, would you? No, I mean that Senator Representative stuff in our district.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kocher.
Sure.
House Bill 5035 is the budget bill for the Land Use Board of Appeals. The board has exclusive jurisdiction to hear appeals of land use decisions made by state agencies, local governments, and special districts. The board was established in 1979 to provide prompt, professional, and efficient resolution of land use issues and to create a consistent body of land use law. The Natural Resources Subcommittee approved a total budget of $1,310,556.06 FTE. This budget is a 7.3% reduction from the governor's budget and a 2.6% increase over the 2001-03 legislatively approved level. The subcommittee reduced the governor's proposed budget to reflect lower Department of Administrative Services assessments, elimination of most inflation, and salary freeze. The subcommittee approved the restoration of a staff attorney position that was eliminated as a result of Measure 28, recognizing that the position's contribution to fulfilling the agency's core mission and meeting its statutory mandate to issue final written opinions on appeals was 77 days after the date LUBA receives and settles the government record. The subcommittee did not approve restoration of an Administrative Specialist 1 position or continuation of a limited duration publications coordinator position. Instead, for a savings of $87,000, the subcommittee approved a paralegal 2 position that will be assigned most of the duties of the 2 former positions, with the staff attorney and board members assuming some of the duties previously performed by the publications coordinator. The subcommittee discussed the risks of this approach and concluded that the staffing restructure should work if the number and complexity of appeals do not increase substantially in 2003-05. The subcommittee directed the agency to work with the Department of Administrative Services to ensure that the paralegal 2 position is an appropriate classification for the duties to be assigned. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5035 be amended and reported out as due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Recommending House Bill 5035 be reported out to the House and due pass recommendation as amended. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Objection.
Oh, excuse me, one objection. Let me note it. Representative Butler voting no. House Bill 5062, County Fairs. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5062 abolishes the Oregon County Fair account and transfers the balance in the account to the Department of Agriculture. These funds would then be distributed to the county fairs by the department. Under current law, only the interest in the account can be distributed. The projected 0305 beginning balance for the Oregon County Fair account is $145,122. The Department of Agriculture was to distribute $42,195 of interest in the 0305. Distributing all of the monies in the account would result in a net increase in support for county fairs from this account of just over $100,000. This increase in support would help offset a reduction of about $600,000 in lottery fund support for county fairs that is included in the co-chair's budget. You're now to resource the subcommittee. Committee unanimously recommends House Bill 5062 be amended and report out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Frieger. Representative Frieger recommends that House Bill 5062 be reported out to the House with a due pass recommendation as amended. Any discussion? I would just like to thank the fairs for working with us in these difficult times. It's very nice to see an agency and group of people that, frankly, don't get a lot of state support. I think we should get more, and here they step up to do their fair share. So I really appreciate that personally. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5505, Commission for the Blind, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5505 is the budget bill for the Commission for the Blind. The Commission oversees a vocational rehabilitation agency that serves persons who are visibly impaired or legally blind. The agency is supported with general fund, other funds from interagency agreements, industry program sales, and donation fund interest, and federal funds. The federal funds require state matching funds. The subcommittee recommended budget is $11.8 million, about 1.1% below the governor's budget. The general fund portion of the budget is actually 9.6% below the legislative adopted budget from last session. Much of the general fund reduction has come from improved efficiencies within the agency. The subcommittee made adjustments to the budget for the Attorney General rate reductions, the DAS assessment reduction, inflation reductions, and the salary freeze. A policy package for increased rent costs was approved. The Commission is under the self-supporting rent system and in the past has received a rent subsidy, which is no longer available. This package allows the agency to continue to operate in its existing location, which has been modified to accommodate the needs of the blind clientele. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 505 be amended and reported out, due pass as amended. Just a comment, this agency has had a tremendous turnaround in management and has done a super job with its efficiencies, and that's why you see this 9.6%. A couple sessions ago and last session we struggled with it. And they hired had a new manager who has just done a yeoman's job. And I can't say enough of how you had an agency that was troubled who has turned things around and has done an outstanding job. So I would recommend we really do pass this budget.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Senator Winters recommends that Senate Bill 5505 be sent to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senate Bill 5541, the Real Estate Agency, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5541 is the budget bill for the Real Estate Agency. The agency regulates the real estate industry. The subcommittee has approved a budget of $6,484,000 in other funds. The agency is entirely funded from licensing and regulation fees, license renewals, examinations, seminars, and the sale of publications. The budget is a 2.2% reduction from the governor's balanced budget. The subcommittee approved a policy package for enhancements to the agency's licensing and complaint management information system, including the use of the Internet to process transactions. The subcommittee also approved a package that would permit examination of license applicants on demand in a secure, computer-based environment.
We also spent a great deal of time looking at the issues of some unscrupulous management in the arena of property managers. And we have another budget note that will have the agency examine this issue and develop a task force within the industry to look at the potential solutions they can bring back to us. Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5541 be amended and reported out with a due pass as, with a due pass as amended.
Thank you very much, Representative Hansen. Senate Bill 5541 has been recommended moved to the floor with a due pass. Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and colleagues. I have grave concerns about this. Not necessarily the agency and what is happening inside of their agency, but because of what's happening on the property management end. And we, there was $1.2 million that could not be accounted for on the property management side of this agency. But actually, the issue should have been taken up in the substantive committee because we couldn't make substantive change in the Ways and Means Committee. So I met with the chairman and some of the people on the property management side, and it's really a situation where the fox is watching the hen house. But I did tell them that I wanted to work with them during the interim because I do plan to come back with some recommendations the next time. It's the little people that are being affected by this. When you put money in escrow, and everybody have credit cards that everybody can go to the bank and get money, and nobody knows how much money is left. Well, what is left? So $1.2 million is nothing to shake your fist at. And the little people, the nonprofits, asked us to do something, but we couldn't get anything done in Ways and Means. It has to go to the Substantive Committee. So I want you guys to be assured that I will be watching them in terms of how they work with the other property management groups to deal with this issue.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Hansen.
I'm going to be watching.
Well, I think we should make one point of clarification. The $1.2 million that is unaccounted for certainly is not agency funds. That will be from accounts that are supervised by the agency.
Right.
So it's not a case of public money being gone, but certainly there's some private money being gone, and the budget note, I hope, will address that, and this may also be an area for substantive action in the next session.
Very good. Yeah, I personally like to appreciate the hard work the committee did and trying to get at issues that, even though they aren't officially our province, trying to get that up on the radar screen so that, like Senator Carter said, next session we can make sure that appropriate substantive legislation does come forward and maybe give the agency the ability to deal with these things in a very proactive manner. Any further discussion? Mm-hmm. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 129 relating to private career schools. Representative Tootie Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 129 changes statutes relating to private career schools, their teachers, and students. The Department of Education currently licenses more than 250 private career schools with a flat initial license fee and an annual fee based on the school's tuition income range. The bill would allow the department also to set fees by administrative rule to register private career school teachers and for providing students with copies of their transcripts. The department reports that the volume of work associated with these activities exceeds the revenues from school licensure. The increased revenue from the new fees is expected to be less than $35,000 per biennium. The department also administers the Tuition Protection Fund. If a licensed school goes out of business, the Tuition Protection Fund is used to assist the school students in completing their education at another school. Senate Bill 129 would allow the department to contract directly with a substitute school instead of using the money using the more lengthy public contracting provisions in ORS 279. This change is intended to reduce the disruption to students' education. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Ways and Means Committee approve Senate Bill 129 and move it to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith is moving Senate Bill 129 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2254, relating to brands. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2254 changes the livestock brand recording fee collected by the Department of Agriculture. Livestock brands are used to identify ownership and or right of possession of livestock. Brands must be re-recorded periodically with the payment of a renewal fee. The brand fees, combined with fees for inspection of brands on livestock, support the Department of Agriculture's brand inspection program. Brand fees were last adjusted more than a dozen years ago, and over time, inflation has eroded the cash reserve needed to sustain the brand inspection program. Without this fee increase, the brand inspection program will move into a deficit cash flow position during the 2003-05 biennium. The bill changes the brand renewal fee from $35 every 2 years to a maximum of $100 every fourth year, beginning in September of 2003. The bill also directs the Department of Agriculture to adjust expiration dates of brand certificates to spread renewals over a four-year period and even out cash flow. Most brand inspections are conducted between September and March. The proposed increase will restore an adequate reserve to cover the low-income months of April to September and then sustain the reserve at a lower level than needed under the current fee collection cycle. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends House Bill 2254 be reported out, do pass with amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Harper.
What is the ending balance discussion on this fee raising call? What does this leave us? How many years? Does anybody know? Okay, we talk about it. I don't recall the conversation. Anybody know?
Mr. Siebert, could we have staff come
forward? He said he'd get back to us. Okay, I'm just kind of curious. Does this raise us 2 years, or does this keep us clean for more than a biennium? I'll get you later. Thanks.
Let the record show the staff will get back to Senator Harper and the committee on that piece of information. Any other discussion on House Bill 2254?
Yes, sir. But just one question clarification. The way I read it right now, it's $35 for 2 years, which would be $17.50 a year. It goes to $100 for 4 years, which would be $25 a year. So you're raising it from $17.50 to $25, basically, on an annual basis. And was there any attempt to make sure that over the next 2 years, those folks renewing that are now going to be paying the $100 in it as opposed to $35, that you somehow accounted for that within the agency's budget?
Again, I would defer to staff on this issue.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, the Department of Agriculture budget is still in subcommittee. But the subcommittee did take action to approve a policy option package that would allow for expenditure of some of this fee increase to ensure that the program can continue as currently operating through the 2003-05 biennium. My understanding is that with the change from 2 years to 4 years, there would be some spike initially in revenue to build a reserve, and then that would flatten out. And with the, in essence, you would be going from, instead of every 2 years having cash come in to the program, you would have cash come in annually. So that would flatten the cash flow into the agency and ensure a less amount be needed for the reserve.
But Mr. Chair, I just want to make certain that the reserve was in fact a reserve. It just wouldn't be used as an expense or a category of income for the next biennium. Thank you. And he's shaking his head yes.
Any further discussion? Any objection? Bill 2254, you pass to the House. House Bill 3177, relating to state agency debt collection. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Co-Chair Schrader. Last but not least, House Bill 3177 allows the Oregon Department of Consumer and Business Services to issue warrants for collection of debts owed to the department. House Bill 3177 came to the Ways and Means Committee on a unanimous vote of the House Judiciary Committee. Current law permits DCBS to file a lien on a debtor's real property, but not to issue garnishments. This measure allows DCBS to issue warrants and to pursue payment of debt through the garnishment process. DCBS is the only agency with a full-time collection staff that does not currently have this authority. This authority will enable DCBS to improve its collections by $350,000 in the 2003-2005 biennium. The Transportation and Economic Subcommittee recommend that House Bill 3177 be reported out and passed.
Thanks, Representative Smith. Any discussion on House Bill 3177? Any objection to House Bill 3177 going to the House of the do pass? Seeing none, so ordered. Other business, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Co-Chair, today is a happy day for me. I bring you a grant request with no creepy diseases, no spongy bovine brains, no cow waters, no manure indices. Today I drew the long straw and got fish.
Thank you for that colorful rendition.
The subcommittee recommends approval of a federal grant application from the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund administered by NOAA Fisheries in the amount of $12,700,000. The Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund was initiated by Congress in federal fiscal year 2000 with the intention of assisting the four Pacific states and Northwest tribal governments with efforts to recover native salmonids listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. The state's share of federal fiscal year 2003 Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund funding is now available for dispersal. Expenditure limitation for these funds would be included in the OWEB budget. Receipt and expenditure of these funds is assumed in the co-chair's plan to maximize the use of Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Funds and Measure 66 lottery funds to avoid reductions in Oregon plan expenditures and to make the general fund available to address the statewide revenue shortfall. Your subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application.
Thank you very much. Any objection? Any discussion? Or vice versa? So ordered. Last but not least, we've handed out a little thing on amendments. And there's been some discussion committee about how do we amend, when do we amend, what sort of notification do we give the co-chairs. That would be something you'd want to do. Also, what notification do we give the chairs? That's also something you want to kind of do in advance of the committee meeting, if at all possible. Well, it has to happen before. We have a bill that's going to be coming back to a committee because there was a little oversight in that regard, although it was a good, I think, potentially a very good amendment. Talked about conceptual amendments, and I guess I'd like a brief discussion by Mr. Rocco, on, you know, what sort of conceptual amendments are okay and what sort of conceptual amendments are not okay, if you will, because I've always had a big problem with the conceptual amendments and policy committee that change the flavor of the bill that aren't, you know, that the chairs and the committee aren't aware of. But I understand that in Ways and Means there are some things that we do have to hand and gross as the committee works through things. So could you give us a little clarification?
Mr. Chair, when we think of conceptual amendments, we're thinking of something that's either a hand engrossed bill with handwritten changes to it, or something written out, typed out, that indicates the intent of the amendment in the proposed language. That language might change when we get to council, but I think what we're trying to avoid is just a verbal discussion in the committee without any pre-notification. Most subcommittee work is done with conceptual amendments, because even when we take the amendments that we're dealing with today in the subcommittee, they're not they have not been run through council yet. So, but before the bill is passed out of the full committee, you will have the printed amendment with in front of you.
Is there any question by the committee? Any concerns? Senator Dukes.
Actually, I guess I do. I'm confused is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. Because we've been told all along that the subcommittees were to work the budgets and that there wasn't going to be a lot of top-down recession. And so we had a subcommittee that did just that and changed two numbers. And that wasn't okay. And because it hadn't been approved by all of the channels. And then I went into the next subcommittee and we had a hand engrossed with a whole bunch of fee changes. And that one was okay. So I was a little confused as to exactly what the subcommittees can do.
So it's working.
I don't know. If you're trying to confuse me, yeah, you were.
Mr. Rocca, would you comment?
Mr. Chair and members, I think the basic difference in those two situations was in the second case that hand engrossed amendment had been reviewed by the co-chairs and the sub-chair the previous day. So they knew what was entailed with those amendments, and that's why it was recommended to go forward. That didn't mean the subcommittee had to adopt those. The subcommittee had the choice whether to adopt it or not.
But then wouldn't we have had to run them through the co-chairs again? I guess as we get into, I mean, these are little bills. As we get into big bills, it seems to me that if either we're there just to adopt what is given to us, or we will, if we want to make changes, we have to come find a couple of co-chairs again, which may be okay. It's just not, I think, what we were told to start out with, and so that's therefore my confusion, and I was just trying to understand what the rules are, because yesterday they seemed very different in my two committees.
Sure. Well, I think my two cents anyway, I think Mr. Rocco alluded to it correctly. We have relied on the subcommittees a lot. It's been a much more open process as a result of the public hearings process that every subcommittee's gone through and some of the pre-work sessions. In some cases, the co-chairs have pretty much adopted, I think, what the subcommittees wanted to do. But at all levels, the chairs of the committee, which would be Representative Miller and myself with assistance of Senator Harper, I think have to see the final product pretty much before it goes out, unless they're little items. So while we're incorporating all the subcommittee's work, I think the chairs would reserve the right to review the final product before it does go out. And that's pretty much all we're talking about. Near the end here, we're going to have some pretty big bills with some pretty big issues. And even the chairs are listening to leadership discussions, which hopefully embody the entire caucuses, so that while we are working the budgets, I think, extremely well, I've been very pleased with the work that's been done down here. We want to make sure the different caucuses understand what we're doing, are comfortable with what we're doing, and there will be no one leaving this building in the next month or two, hopefully, that can say they don't know what's in these budgets. Everyone's going to know, whether you're a member of Ways and Means or whether you're a floor member, too, and I think that's a real positive statement. So we have to be fairly deliberate as we go through these. And I really appreciate the work. That committee actually did some very good work. The chair was very excited about the work. That's just a function of making sure everyone's on board and knowing what's going on. Communication is important, I find out, at this stage of the session. Okay. Well, very good. Appreciate all the good work. Next Friday.
Bob.
Adjourn.
Bob.